Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This portion of our program, we're joined by Paul Amelio. Should be an interesting discussion. Paul is background as an inventor, chairman of N2 Global Solutions Incorporated, and he's got some interesting things to share with us. Also, brought some interesting devices with him today that we're going to do. We're going to do a visual explanation in audio fashion for radio. That sounds complex, but trust me, this will work. Paul, it's nice to have you join us.
Thank you very much, Bob. I really appreciate the opportunity.
In beginning this discussion, let's do a little bit of background. You know, I mentioned, in fact, you're a co-founder, inventor, chairman of N2 Global Solutions Incorporated. What's N2?
Well, N2 is the company that my partner and I built to create this new technology, and it came through an epiphany when we were watching a documentary between Nikola Tesla and Edison, and I kept looking at the switch on the wall and my phone and saying, it looks the same. I feel like I could glue my phone to the wall and it has the same kind of configurations. And then I thought, has anybody thought about putting smartphone technology into the electrical infrastructure? So we went online, looked through some of the Google stuff and couldn't find anything like it. So we got a little crazy. We started, you know, Steve Jobs says, you know, be hungry, be foolish.
Mm.
I think we just went nuts because all of a sudden we're discovering something that's not out there, you know, Bob. And we thought, wait a minute, we might have something here. And what do? Do you call that 800 number at late at night that says, you know, invent me?
Right.
You know, nobody knows what to do. There's no special book on what, you know. So, you know, what do? You're a middle-aged guy. You don't have, like, college friends you could bounce this stuff off of. So you're kind of stuck in this vacuum figuring, am I doing the right thing here? Well, when we started doing this, we realized, at first we thought, well, you know, we've been around the block. We know people. Perhaps maybe we could do this faster than normal, you know. So we thought what was going to take us a year and a half to do took 5.5, now going on 9th year. And, you know, my wife in the beginning started asking me, hey, where's the rent money? You know, how are we going to do this? Because I just quit everything I was doing to do this. And I think I made a big mistake early. You know, she's still with me, thank God. But, you know, the thing is, you won the house. We survived with two kids, you mm-hmm. know. And it was, N2 is more than just a company to me. You know, it's some blood, sweat, and tears. And, you know, somehow or another, I feel like, you know, I don't own the company. My wife owns me and the company. So it's more than a company to me. But I thank you for asking. And the reason why we call it N2 is one of our friends once said to us, you know, N2 is really a nitrogen. And nitrogen mm-hmm. is more prevalent in the air than even oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So we always thought that if we're going to build a business, we want to be everywhere. And nitrogen is everywhere. So that's why we call it N2.
In coming up with this, you know, the kind of technology that is going into the products that N2 is dealing with, you know, it's amazing to go back to what you said at the very beginning of that answer, that, you know, this all came in a way from watching this documentary.
Yes.
Okay. And as you said that, I thought to myself, wait a minute, I've seen that. But I'm thinking, I didn't come up with something like this.
Well, you know, I think sometimes people watch a show like that and they are intrigued by what they see.
Right.
And then there are others, you know, I come from a creative background. Right. So part of me is just plain nuts, because I think you have to be nuts to, you know, to every morning try to get up and come up with a new idea.
Right.
And, you know, being in the advertising world kind of sparked that. And, you know, I used to work, you know, heavy duty construction with my dad and my brother. So doing advertising was a joke to me. I thought, man, I'm going to work. I remember one time my first paycheck I got, I deposited my money in the bank and I pulled out X amount mm-hmm. to get home. On the way home, I started, you know, giving bums money, because I felt like, geez, I got a great job where I'm making a decent dollar. I might as well just, you know, hand out some of the bums. And when I got to the turnstiles to take the train home, I was out of money, so I had to beg for money to get on it. So I guess, you know, that's what makes us nuts. We're creative people. We do things that normal people don't do. And, you know, I just couldn't help it. But when I saw the light switch on the wall and the socket, I kept saying, wow, you know, technology can somehow fit in that small component. Why not in an electrical box? And, you know, it was a challenge, because at first I thought it would be a simple task, mm-hmm. But it wasn't quite that simple.
Okay. Now, this box that you brought with you that has these devices in it, I want you to describe for people listening to us what this concept of the super socket is all about.
Well, the super socket is what we call it because it's more than smart.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just smart, it would be a smart socket, which everybody calls their equipment, even though it's not so smart.
Right.
So we figured if we're super, we got to be smarter than smart. So what we have is what we call inside the wall is what we call the sandbox. Now, the reason why we call, and ironically, Bob, the sandbox that's inside the wall, we call it the sandbox, and we were able to trademark that. Who would have thought, you know? So the reason why we call it the sandbox is because we want other companies to license our product and play in our sandbox by creating their own snap-on module that retrofits into our product, and now they can coexist. And the reason why I say that is because there's a lot of technologies that build their technology at a certain point, and then they go away because they don't readapt. They don't confine to the new standards and things that are necessary. You know, for example, we have the Green Building, U.S. Green Building Council, mm-hmm. and WILL Building Standards. And those mandates change regularly. We have new mandates in California, there's Title 24. And, you know, there's issues there in terms of being able to create a socket that actually works with their mandates.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there, and quite frankly, we were welcomed with open arms. Where in New York, it's a little tougher of a crowd. But there are things that are happening here that have changed people's minds from, like, say, the year before that we spoke to them versus now. And the reason why that is that things like, for example, the shutting down of the Indian Point power plant, you know, that supplies us with close to 27% of our energy. Now, I understand that they've been making provisions to shut that place down a long time ago.
Right.
So they've set up things in between now and then, but they're not simple. Everything takes time and effort. And even though they're saying the year 2021, there might be some variable there depending on where we really are before they actually shut it down completely, because that'll put a lot of strain on everything else. So the fact that our product can reduce your energy consumption, now it doesn't change your lifestyle. It just changes your energy consumption, because 30% is inherent in waste, whether you're in a building or not. It's things like that are plugged in, like vampire bleeding of the system, and things that are energy hogs. And what we take advantage to is daylight harvesting, which is taking the daylight and balancing it off with the internal light if you have multiple windows in your office. So these are the things that we take advantage of that allows us to do what we do. And when we have, and again, I know, Bob, you asked me a specific question. I went off on tangents, but the sandbox, which is inside the wall, goes into every electrical box, which allows each component to communicate with each other from sub-basement to rooftop, and now your whole building becomes a ubiquitous hotspot. Adding the module on the front, which is the faceplate, whether it be the cover, the switch or the socket or even a light fixture, it adds that much more technology to it. So it depends on what your wants and what your hopes are, and what you want to do with your building. You could do quite a bit when you have these modules that speak multiple different languages. That's the great thing about it. Now, the internal part, which is what I said before, the sandbox, they speak via Zigbee. It's a wireless protocol that's very secure, and it allows this internal mesh topology to give you information on your server and through the cloud. The faceplate is a agnostic protocol, which it speaks to multiple radio protocols, which allows us to be agnostic. So you know how some companies don't speak to each other because they're proprietary. In our case, we open that communication. So it doesn't matter who you are, you can communicate with all the other companies through the agnostic protocols.
It's an amazing device or series of devices. How can you explain this for our audience, which is obviously listening on radio, of how these things look, how they work?
Well, they have, for the most part, your typical look that you have already existing in the wall. However, the sandbox has internally about 4 motherboards and about 600 components that make up the sandbox. And there's powerful processors and an array of sensors inside that measure moisture, harmonics, voltage, insidious gases, up to 1,500 different variables of atmospheric gases that we can pick up inside the wall. On the faceplate, we have the same thing. The difference with the faceplate is that it speaks multiple other protocols like Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or IV6. It's a different mesh on the front portion of it, which allows you to communicate with other stuff that's inside the building. Because, see, inside the walls, you want to keep that centered within that infrastructure. And outside the walls, you want to be able to communicate with what's inside, what you're doing in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a division of sorts, but they still communicate together to offer different types of information that's vital. And it actually goes down to the sub-second level. We could do predictive maintenance. We can know up to 2 months before an electrical fire can happen. So your insurance premiums should be able to go down for that reason.
Wait a minute. Hang on for a second. Did you just say you could know up to 2 months before an electrical fire could happen?
Yeah, because the analytics can detect something that may happen, and then you can analyze those analytics and know that there's a potential fire hazard that can happen, and now you can be proactive instead of reactive.
Neat. Really, really neat. Okay, now the device that you have in your hands is what aspect of this?
In terms of the whole, this is the socket, which has also motion sensor on it. And the socket, as you plug in, now each porthole, keep in mind, will give you a diagnostic on whatever is plugged into it. So now you'll know, for example, if you're plugging in something that's about to die, like if you have a computer with important information, you want to make sure that that computer can be replaced in time, or that you can back up your system knowing that the computer is old or going on its last leg.
Right, right.
And the other great thing about it is that the sandbox allows you to take the faceplate of the switch and snap that on, so they're swappable. So you don't have to, I mean, this sounds crazy, but when I used to live in Jersey City, I used to have this ironing board. I used to iron my own clothes. So people say that now. They're like, what? You still iron clothes? and I used to have this outlet that was too far away for me to plug in the iron. I mean, why would somebody put an ironing board and then put the outlet like 30 feet away, right?
Right.
So the light switch was right there, right next to the ironing board. If I could have swapped the switch with the socket,
right.
I would have been able to plug in without a problem. Instead, I had to go out and buy an extension cord just to use my iron. So it's those are the kind of things that are make creative people crazy, where they wind up doing even crazier things, like invent something like this. So at the end of the day, we it's what taught us what we're doing right now is our childhood. For example, this came from Legos. Everything's modular. Everything snaps together, whether it's a ceiling fixture or a socket or light switch. They all snap together. And the whole idea of it powering up when it comes together, I don't know if you used to watch the movie Shazam. It was a TV show.
Yes.
Where the two rings come together and they power up and Shazam shows up. Well, that's how this thing was conceived, by snapping them together and they power up to create energy. You know, you're not going to get a genie out of it, but but it does it.
Darn.
It does magic.
Well, the whole idea of promoting things that are eco-friendly or environmentally friendly, this has become huge now in the business world, okay? And a big push is on, obviously, to, for buildings to fall right in this category, hasn't it?
Well, you have to look at what's happening with our environment.
Mm-hmm.
Air quality is becoming a huge issue now.
Right.
The fact that it has environmental sensors is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you can control what you're breathing because of that reason, if you don't know what's there, you can't do anything about it, right? So education is what makes us smarter. Being able to dig that a little deeper to understand what exactly is going on. And without those components, without those tools, very difficult to do that. The other thing is our energy. You know, we want to be able to consume not less by doing less, because obviously you want to be proactive,
mm-hmm.
but you want to take whatever waste is out there, whatever is not being used properly, and channel it, so that way you're getting better use out of it. Now, there's a lot of great companies out there, and that's why this is an opportune time for us to actually venture out. And the reason why I say that is because initially when we first started this, like I said to you before, we thought in 2 years we'd have this thing licked and out there. But even so, if you think about it, those components that were available to us back, even in just 2013, you would have been looking at two cinder blocks, one inside the wall, one outside the wall. And as we progress forward, we were going to give up around 2014. We figured, we can't come up with everything. We're not creating processors and microchips and all that other stuff. These are things that we look to find and to build our product with. You can only make a soup with what's out there.
Right.
So at the end of the day, what helped us get here was the fact that these components got smaller and smaller. The relays that used to be the size of alarm clocks came down to the size of a thumbnail. The gas sensors went from the size of a fist to the size of a wafer thin dime. So all of a sudden, we were on course. And, I tell people, you just can't jump out of an airplane, hit a bullseye in the ground,
That'd be a little bit difficult, yes. Right.
So, in essence, even with technology, it's not something you could just say, okay, here's all these microchips, let's just throw them together and boom, we're ready to rock, You need some quality people to put those things together, and somebody with a vision. Because even my engineers looked at me like I had 14 heads. But at the end, we built something, And the great thing about it is that it's a useful tool. And it's, by the way, we're manufacturing starting around May. So, we're getting our UL approvals. We're at beta right now. We're part of an innovation node program through Nigrin, our allied resource or strategic alliance is NYU Tandon School of Engineering. They're doing our alpha and alpha plus testing going into the beta. They're also going to be a customer, which is all part of this Nigrin Innovation Node program that encompasses RPI, NYU, Tandon School of Engineering, Stony Brook, Cornell's University, Penn State. It's really starting to explode.
That's really cool. Yeah. Wow. It really is very, very interesting. It's got to be very gratifying, but also it seems like you have a lot of fun with what you're doing, too.
Well, if you're not having fun, you might as well give it up.
Well, that's true.
I mean, you think about it. I still do. I'm very passionate about the advertising world. I've done advertising pretty much all my life after college. But the thing was, I was doing advertising when I was a little kid. You know, I would draw these caricatures, and people would volunteer their lunch money to get my characters. I'm like, you know, these are just drawings. And, you know, back in the day, I'm thinking, you know, I didn't want to take their lunch money. You know, I felt like a bully, but it was they're offering it to me. And, you know, it's kind of funny, too, because when you have a talent, even the bullies appreciate it.
Right.
You know, I was like, you know, hands off with this guy because, you know, he's drawing me and a character of me. And, you know, I would get away with it. And then also with my essays, even if I did a crappy essay, I would always do a nice cover for the teacher to look at. So she would give me extra, or he would give me extra credit for the cover. And that would offset the bad grade I got on my essay, you know? So, you know.
Very clever.
Anything I could do to use my talents to get somewhere, I would do it. And in this particular case, I couldn't back off. Even though I had an advertising business that was doing very well, Steve Madden was one of my clients, you know? And other global clients, including InterIKEA Systems BV. So I had a small agency that was doing global business, and I shut that down for this. So you could imagine why my wife thought I was nuts.
Yeah, that's why she was asking about the rent money, yes. Yeah.
So she had to get two jobs, the poor thing, while I was working on this. So you can imagine when she got home from work, I get that dirty look every day. But, you know, and funny thing about that whole thing kind of turned in my favor, because even though she kind of hated me for what I was doing and understood that, you know, you got to let somebody loose, you can't, you know, she's good like that. I was also the guy who spent the time with the kids. So I was able to see my daughter walk for the first time, my son say his first words. And unfortunately, my wife didn't have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So she lost on many occasions. That's why I give her so much credit, because she survived through a lot.
And you wanted to keep her working at those two jobs.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Well, yeah, I mean, that helped. If she could have got a third job.
Now, with what I guess we could refer to as kind of connected home technology, in other words, where are we going?
That's a great question, Bob. And I'll tell you why that's an important question. Because we're not competitive in the sense that we want to see other companies that are not quite where we are go down. Mm-hmm. The whole thing with the Startup New York and the Nycrin program is to create jobs, not to watch them go away. So if you're creating a company that's doing well, other companies are going to suffer for that, unless if they're competitors. So what you want to do is offer them an opportunity to become part of a coalition, work with you to build something. Because, you know, we're in a real tough state because, realistically, there isn't the competition here. We're opening up a whole new market.
Right.
So by welcoming a coalition of sorts, here's an example. There's a battery company out there that just got their UL rating, and they're 65% efficiency. I can't name them because I don't want to give them free billing. But, you know, you look at that company who's integrating with us. We're also integrating with IBM and Future Electronics. So we're working with them progressively. Hopefully we wind up doing something even bigger because they have a great program. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is create a coalition of sorts, kind of like, you know, we're sports radio, right? Here. So think of it like the sports, like let's say a football league. You know, you have all these teams that compete against each other, right? Mm-hmm. Yet without each other, you don't have a league, right? So what we're doing is we're creating a coalition of teams, of companies in sustainability world that compete, but in a friendly manner where they're building a coalition of sorts. Because you don't have a number you can call if you're a building owner and say, green me. You know,
right?
Somebody has to go in and look at that building's the nervous system, and understand what it really needs. Every building is built differently. For example, there's about 31% of the buildings in New York are pre-war or 100-year-old building. Now, if you consider piping, right? If you have any idea what a plumber does, they put this pipe dope to seal the areas where the pipes connect.
Right.
Now, over the course of 100 years, what happens to that pipe dope? I mean, was that built to last 1,000 years?
Of course not.
In most cases, right. It starts to deteriorate. Right. So when that happens, especially in places like New York City, where you have underground movement and you have pipe dope that's actually deteriorating, you're going to have gas leaks. You know, it's just the common sense. So if you don't have something strategically placed in an area where you can pick up those gases, you know, you're not going to know that they're building up behind those walls and potentially reach to the point where they hit the switch. And when you hit the light switch, who knows what's going to happen? The fact is, we don't know the temperament of buildings that are that old. And the only way to find out is by tapping into those holes that are already there for us, where the light switches are, the sockets, and the light fixtures, and understand what's going on behind those walls. We can't break through brick, put a little pencil in there, and try to figure out what's going on behind that wall. The best way to do it is by having the intelligence to occupy the space that's already given to you, which our product does by retrofitting into existing electrical boxes and measuring those things that way. And there's a lot that we're going to learn from that.
Mm. So the next decade or so it's almost like a whole new world is opening.
Absolutely. And you know what's great about it? We're looking at jobs in so many different aspects of our society. You're looking at jobs in intelligence, IT, plastics, board design, manufacturing. We're looking to build contract manufacturing in every state. Now, you think about that. If you have a contract manufacturer in every state, I'll tell you what's so good about that. Number one, you're creating jobs in that state, right?
Oh, sure.
On top of that, We're recycling, refurbishing, and resubmitting product into the buildings. So let's say 5 years later, we're removing our components from a building that's already purchased it and giving them new stuff and taking the old stuff, refurbishing it, and selling it to the building across the street instead of selling it cross-country. You know, if you were selling, for example, or delivering a bottle of soda from New York to California, you know, you'd be paying $20 for a bottle of soda because liquid is expensive.
Right.
That's why they have distribution centers for Coca-Cola and companies like that. Same thing with our product. We don't want to ship product all over the world, all over the country. We want to build locally and create that opportunity for each community to thrive, because our biggest challenge really is the environmental and the economic climate. That's our biggest challenge. So as a coalition, we can defeat that challenge. If we compete against each other to get there in a market that's completely wide open like this one is, which is fairly new, we're just competing against ourselves in a negative way.
Very interesting discussion with Paul Emilio on our program. He's co-founder, an inventor, and chairman of N2 Global Solutions Incorporated. What's the website for your firm?
Thank you for asking. It's n2-gs.com. That's N as in Nancy, number 2, dash, G as in George, S as in Sam.com. But you can also go to paulemilio.net and find out more about me.
Paul, thank you very much. It's a fun discussion. And again, like I said, it's so good to see somebody who's enjoying what they're doing.
Thank you.
Don't ever lose that fun aspect of this, because that just is going to drive you and I think is going to work wonders with what you're able to do. And the technology is great.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for having me on your show.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.